We wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we are recording on in Perth, Western Australia.
The Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation.
We wish to acknowledge their continuing culture.
And pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging.
In a world where the lives of everyday people are preordained by the script that must be followed, a ragtag team of scamps dare to speak their highly unqualified opinions publicly. They dare to go off script.
Unscripted, the film show.
You're listening to Unscripted, the film show.
You can't handle the truth.
God, I'm walking here.
Here's Johnny.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I'll have what she's having.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
G'day, Unscriptonites, and welcome to Thursday night, Unscripted, the film show. I'm sitting here. My name is Lewis. Across from me is Cecilia.
Hello.
Next to her is Rachel. We have a full house.
Hello.
How awesome is that? A full house and very little to talk about. Wow.
That's all right. We've got the Oscars.
We do. We do.
I'm being blinded by the light. I've just realised if I move myself so that you're... head is right there. Well, then the light behind you makes you look angelic. No, it's good. It's
nice.
Oh.
Well, if you just keep things rolling for a second.
Yes.
I'll stand up and I'll flick the switch so the roller shutters go down.
Oh, that's very good. So yes, there's not huge amount to talk about this week, but of course the Oscars did occur.
Mm-hmm.
There were naked wrestlers. There was singing. Ken dolls. It was all happening. I must say I didn't watch a whole lot of it, but I did watch the highlights and bits and bobs. Most of the stuff probably people have already seen. And I watched a documentary this week. And that's about it. No, don't do that because now I can see myself in the mirror.
Bring
the curtain down.
I would have to say this year, though, looking at all the Oscar nominations and now the winners, I haven't seen a lot of the films. I've obviously seen the, you know, Oppenheimer, Barbie duo. But apart from that, I'm usually pretty switched on and have seen a majority of the films that were nominated.
Yeah.
But this year I'm very, very behind. Like things like Poor Things, Anatomy of a Fall, things like that. So I've got a lot of catching up to do.
Well, also The Holdovers was one of the films that was nominated for a few different awards, and there's quite a bit of controversy over that because there is talks that that's actually basically a carbon copy of a script that was in the blacklist there for a bit. Now, the blacklist in Hollywood is kind of like a whole bunch of scripts that haven't been made for whatever reason that are really good. They just can't get anyone attached to them. And basically they're saying it's fraudulent and it's plagiarized this script that's been around for a long time. And, you know, it did win an award, Best Supporting Actress, I believe it was. So be interesting to see what the fallout from that is. But, yeah, I wanted to see The Holdovers, yeah, but I'll be, yeah. I don't know what the full story is.
Looks like a good movie, and I was speaking to a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago who does also film reviewing and things like that, and she mentioned that was one of the best films she'd seen in a very, very long time. So, yeah, to think that it might potentially be fraudulent. But then again, is it just the premise of the film or is it word for word?
There's a lot of stuff that's word for word. So British screenwriter Simon Stevenson has accused the makers of The Holdovers of plagiarism, saying that the similarity to his 2013 script is brazen. Like there's so much of it that is...
like for like.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep. So
that then is a bit different. If it's just the premise of it, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a premise that's completely out of the blue. Like it's
basically being accused of line for line plagiarism. So
very interesting.
And Alexander Payne is behind the latest, The Holdovers. So it's a bit odd that he would get himself caught up in something like that. But
well, I mean, Oppenheimer seemed to be the big winner for the evening though Cillian Murphy obviously taking out actor in a leading role and then Robert Downey Jr. in a supporting role. And then I'm just going through the list here. I was going to say Emily Blunt. But
Best Picture.
Best Picture.
Best Picture. And did it get Best Director?
Cinematography. And yes, Best Director. First time Christopher Nolan's actually ever won an Oscar for Best Director.
I was surprised it didn't win for sound editing, but I think they've taken that out. It might just be sound mixing. Something else won. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like that, the sound in Oppenheimer was so spectacularly pulled together that I was surprised it didn't win.
To me, it was the best element of the entire film. It did win for film editing. I don't know where it's stacked up for sound, but yeah, I felt like the score and the sound in that film, because for me,
best original score.
Yeah, but I just found watching that film, and I think I've mentioned this before, is that there was just like these snippets of sound that just continue throughout the film until you get to the moment of the atomic bomb, and then it suddenly goes silent, and I felt like it was such an impactful way to highlight that scene.
It's so weird that it didn't win best sound. The Zone of Interest won Best Sound.
Wow.
Yeah.
A film I haven't seen.
I really want to see that. That looks full on. So that one is a British film and it's set at the home of a German family that's basically right next door to a concentration camp. That's my understanding. And there was somebody who was in that film as well as Anatomy of a Fall. So, you know, she was in two of the Best Picture nominations. So
I'm really happy that Godzilla Minus One, which I haven't seen yet, won Best Visual Effects. That's the first time Godzilla has ever won an Oscar.
Oh, well, there you go. Well done, Godzilla.
I know. And that was up against The Creator and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning and Napoleon.
So I suppose we should talk about there were two very big events as far as I could see from the footage. The first one, of course, was Ryan Gosling getting up and singing I Am Ken. Mm-hmm. Have either of you actually watched this footage?
I haven't watched the footage. I've seen pictures, but I haven't watched the footage.
So he emerges. He's sitting in the audience, basically, and he just emerges from the audience and sings and then, you know, walks on stage and does almost
already
like
it's... Already wearing the pink suit?
It's an fromage for...
he's covered in cheese.
He's covered in cheese. It is a cheesy version of Material Girl, so the Material Girl film clip. It's, you know, it's got all the guys in suits with hats and he's in pink. Mm-hmm. He brings Slash out on stage to play a bit. It was very awesome and you're like, damn, man, you're way too talented. But he was a member of the Mickey Mouse Club. And to be part of the Mickey Mouse Club, you got to have the triple threat. You got to be the dancing, singing, acting, you know, all the talents. So, and I know he was in L.A.
Confidential?
No. La La Land?
La La Land. That's the one.
He could have been in L.A. Confidential, maybe.
Very
knows?
Different kind of film, I think. And I believe there was singing and dancing in that film. So, I mean.
In L.A. Confidential? I don't remember that.
No, not in L.A. Confidential.
Fair enough.
In the old La La Land.
So it was nice. I think a lot of people didn't quite realise how amazing it was, and it was just so charismatic. And the other scene was John Cena giving away an award as well as an Eiffel when he came on stage nude, apart from an envelope hiding his privates and a pair of what I would call jandals.
Yeah. he wasn't entirely nude. There was a little pouch thing covering up his...
I assumed there was.
Just in case the envelope dropped.
Just in case, yes.
Things didn't go according to plan. Because
exactly.
That would be a very interesting Oscars.
Yeah.
But the whole reason for that was he was giving away the Oscar for costume designer and they are about to go on strike for more pay. And while he was... You know, just the preamble before the award was It's very important. Costume design is very important because without them you'd be naked. And so it was their way of showing their support for the costume designers that are about to go on strike. There was another scene where there was another moment where Jimmy Kimmel talked about how the Oscars went on strike, but also they were supported by a lot of crew that are behind the scenes, and then they brought all of them, like a whole bunch of people, out on stage and just mentioned that they would be supporting them as well when they go on strike for better paying conditions. So, and they did talk about Hollywood being a very much a union town. So it was interesting. It felt like a very different Oscars, less like really under the belt jokes and more just, you know,
real
good fun,
real authentic.
Was it good fun?
I don't
know
if I'd call it real.
No,
but I think Jimmy Kimmel's good because there were a couple below the belt jokes, but not very many. And I think sometimes you get people up there and they are a little bit not nice.
Perhaps it was more, you know, less taking digs at people.
Yeah, felt like there was a lot of solidarity in the room.
Yeah.
So
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And speaking of John Cena, I did watch a new film, which I might talk about later, called Ricky Stenicki.
Why don't you talk about it now? I think we've covered everything Oscars-wise.
We've got to still kill this first quarter of the show.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I'll talk about Ricky Stenicki later. But, and then also I did watch Love Lies Bleeding, which is a film I did review last week, but I felt like my review was not very concise, so I might, and because it's officially out this week, I might review it again, just because last week I think there was just a few advanced screenings, so I'll talk about that a little bit later as well. And then I'm excited to hear about the documentary. You mentioned before you were talking about a documentary already. Perfect.
Yes, so I will be talking about that. Was there anything else that we wanted to cover in the Oscars? Because
the winners? Jump through. We've covered the winners, I think.
Okay.
We've got that out of the way. John Cena, my God, the guy's got balls. I mean, we almost saw them. It was really...
this is where you really need the sound... effects buttons.
We could probably, you know, have that organised at some point if we were a little bit more
just
organised. But we are talking about us.
Just full on, like, just they go, John, now what we're going to need you to do is be practically naked and just hold the thing in front of you there. But he did it perfectly.
I liked the sidestepping.
Yeah.
You know, he played the humour of it beautifully.
Oh, yeah, he did. And he came up and, like, you know, costumes, probably the most important thing. It's like, yes, this is very good. Just everything he did was just, it's amazing.
He's
like,
got a brilliant sense of humour. It's sometimes always hard to kind of tell what he's thinking too, because sometimes he can seem quite serious when he's actually being quite funny and you don't really know what he's thinking. But, yeah, good on him for doing that.
Have you seen that John Cena's got an OnlyFans page?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. How do I sign up for that?
What does he do on it though? Does he just stand there and
The funny thing is he
stands there with an envelope and then removes the envelope.
Just rips pieces off it really slowly.
He takes like naughty kind of phrases that people use for sexual things and then just makes them really clean. So
that's my kind of only plan.
I'd pay for that. I'd pay $7 a week for that.
I don't think you actually have to pay for it. I think it's also free.
Really? So even better.
Just to Google on your telephone device, John Cena OnlyFans, and I'm pretty darn sure he's doing it for free as well.
Could be a dangerous rabbit hole though, I feel. But look,
you end up getting like a John Cena lookalike OnlyFans or something.
But he's a very, very clever man, and it's interesting to see what he does. The Rock is interesting as well because him being the most famous, popular personality in the world, and he's just turned heel in the WWE, which is pretty full on. All of us wrestling fans know it's a character. It's all a thing, but I mean, surely there must be some people out there who still think it's all real, and this he's being really nasty to that nice young man, Cody Rhodes.
Oh, how is this going to play out? I am looking forward to the old WrestleMania to see how it all plays out, though.
Yes.
But there were a lot of people excited thinking that The Rock was going to be here for the Elimination Chamber. I knew he wasn't going to be here.
We even watched just in case.
Yeah, the amount of people, he's going to be here. I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah. But anyway, I think WrestleMania is going to be very interesting this year. So,
yeah, WrestleMania.
I just cannot see Roman Reigns taking it out again. Surely not.
And I apologize for any non-wrestling fans, but
That's right. They're all looking on Google for John Cena's OnlyFans. Yeah. They're fine.
Roman Reigns has now been the champion for over 1,200 and something days, which is years. Mm. But Hulk Hogan was a champion for 1,400 plus days, and I just think they're not going to let Roman Reigns drop that title until he beats Hulk Hogan's record.
There's time for a new record.
Yeah, but he'll never beat Bruno Sammartino's record. I think Bob Buckland was the other one. They're just too far ahead. But to have beat Hogan is an important thing because Hogan's problematic. I don't think he'll be dropping the title at WrestleMania.
Be honest, deep down, I actually agree with you. I just don't want to believe it. But I do agree with you. I think you're right. But
do you know what the worst thing is, though, with wrestling fans? They will get behind, the baby face. Like, Cody Rhodes will be going, finish your story. We want you to win. It's got to happen. And then Cody wins. And then 3 months later, they go, man, I'm sick of Cody Rhodes. This is boring.
Yeah, we need a new winner.
Yeah.
That is across the board for a lot of different sports. A few years ago, we were all sick of Lewis Hamilton winning the F1. And then we were so excited when Max Verstappen won. And now that's all he does. And it's like, well, this is boring now because it's a one-man sport. You're really only watching for second and third. Mm. So it's not a wrestling thing. It's across the board. And I believe you do have to pay for John Cena's.
How much you have to pay for John Cena's?
I don't know.
I would literally delete. I will delete all my streaming services and just sign up for that. And that is all I'll watch.
We should just have, oh my gosh, we need to have a watching day where just we watch it all together.
Fair enough. We'll get that planned. But we should go to an ad now
then
come back and talk about a film after this. And we are back. Thank you very much to our sponsors. So we're going to talk Ricky Stenicki.
Why not? This is a film that is on streaming. It's not a cinema release, but it has just released on Amazon Prime or Prime Video, I should say, because Amazon Prime and Prime Video are two different things.
Are they really?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think they are, but I'm not 100% sure. But this film stars John Cena. You've got Zac Efron in this film. And I'm just trying to find the other list of actors that are in this film. Not to...
Comedian Andrew Santino.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. So the film focuses on three childhood friends who, at the beginning of the film, get themselves into a little bit of trouble. So they create this fake character called Ricky Stenicki to leave some evidence at the so-called crime. And then they begin to use this character to get away with things throughout their childhood. And then
Dolly did it.
Yeah, into their...
That doesn't make sense to you. You're too young, aren't you?
No, but it sounded funny.
Did you get that reference?
No, I did not.
It wasn't me. Dolly did it.
Is that Comedy Company?
So then these three friends are still good friends well into their adulthoods. They now have got, spouses, wives, things like that. But they decide to then use Ricky Stenicki as a character to get out of certain things. So, for example, they don't want to attend a baby shower. So they say that, Ricky Stenicki's in hospital and then they have to fly out and, visit him. But certain events lead up to a moment where they need to, their wives are starting to get a bit suspicious about, does this guy actually exist? So they devise a plan to hire an actor played by John Cena, who will play their friend Ricky Stenicki to come into town for a few days and, prove his existence and things like that. So it's just a bit of a comedy kind of film with, three guys who are, childhood friends just a kind of series of events take place.
It's
a stupid fun comedy, but it's good fun. I think it's kind of a unique fresh premise that I haven't really seen before, but the problem is that this guy Rod, played by John Cena, then starts to take the role very seriously and almost wants to become Ricky Stanicky because he's this guy living in Las Vegas. You know, people are after him for serious, you know, for some things. He's this guy that plays kind of this washed up guy that plays at, you know, comedy clubs around and things like that.
He's a comedian.
He's one of those comedian. What's a comedian that uses music to,
like a musical comedian.
Yeah. So, he's an impersonator as well. So he kind of impersonates, you know, like Billy Joel, for example, and Slash, and then takes their lyrics and turns them dirty. So kind of the opposite of what he's doing on his OnlyFans page. He's taking the lyrics of popular songs and making them dirty.
Mm-hmm. Like Weird Al Yankovic.
Pretty much, but a very terrible version of him. So,
parody songs.
Yeah, parody songs, essentially. So, yeah, when these three childhood friends are in a, you know, Las Vegas, they, you know, run into him and, you know, he presents himself, you know, as an actor and hands his card to them. So they then hire him to prove the existence of Ricky Stanicky and then find themselves in all sorts of trouble. But it's just quite hilarious. It's kind of that hilarity that comes along with, you know, this guy who takes the acting too serious. Like, he really embodies the role of this Ricky Stanicky character because these guys over the year have developed a Bible of activities that, you know, Ricky. So they've put down all the excuses and things like that to keep a log and record just in case they ever need to refer back to it or, you know, remember what they've already used Ricky for as an excuse. So they're kind of hiding it from their wives just to get out of things. You know, they want to go to a baseball game instead of, you know, hanging out with their wives for the weekend.
Wow.
And things like that. So, yeah, look, it's quite good fun. It's just dumb fun and I quite enjoy that. Sometimes you need a film where you're just going to have a good laugh.
Yeah.
And look, this did it for me right from the beginning, right through till the end. So, yeah, if you're looking for something really fun, it's on Prime. Yeah, you've got Zac Efron, who it's so weird seeing him from being, you know, in High School Musical.
I find him striking to look at now that he's had, you know, he had that big accident and he had to reconstruct his face. He looks so different. Jawline is changed so much.
Yeah, because he has a very kind of childlike look, but I think also he's just obviously grown up.
He has grown up, but
he's
then I think
man.
That operation really changed the look of his jaw. Not his fault. It's, you know, he couldn't help having an accident.
I'm just reading here that it may have also been filmed in Australia.
Oh.
Oh, there you go. The Australian city Melbourne doubled as Providence, Rhode Island for the film.
Oh, well, there
you go. So there you go. The film was actually filmed here in Melbourne, Australia. So
we are doing a lot in the way of, you know, having Hollywood come out here and record stuff because – record. What is that? Because there is a new TV show on Stan starring Ben Feldman, who people may know from Superstore, but he is in a new TV series on Stan called The Tourist Guide to Love, I believe it's called. I really hope I've got that right.
I did see this pop up. It looks quite interesting. I haven't got around to watching it.
I really hope this is the right one. But it might not be. Now I can't find which.
No, you're right. It's called A Tourist Guide to Love. Yeah, and it's on Stan.
Okay, good.
Although, is this the one that he filmed in Australia, though?
So I don't know. Now I'm getting confused. There is a TV show that keeps getting advertised to me that was. So it's.
I thought it was just called The Tourist.
It's him looking for his dad in Australia. So you've got a lot of Australian artists and actors in it. So
is it Population 11?
Yes.
Thank you. My apologies.
And mine too.
Population 11, yes, an upcoming comedy drama set to premiere on Stan today.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
It's out today.
How like on point are we?
It's actually inspired by the 2017 disappearance of Paddy Moriarty in the Northern Territory.
Oh.
So it centres on Feldman's character attempting to solve the disappearance of his estranged father from a small town in the Aussie outback. Only open to... Oh, I've seen the documentary. Have you guys seen this documentary?
No. I haven't seen it, but I have heard a lot about it.
Okay, we've got to talk about this documentary.
What's this movie called?
Sorry, the TV show is called Population 11, and there's a documentary called Lost in Larimar, which I believe is now on ABC, but it was originally a documentary made by an American person about the disappearance of this guy in Larimar, which has like almost no population. And so all the suspects are only the people who live there. And this documentary interviews all of these people. It's like it's one of these people.
Yeah, so basically it's a really interesting – I've seen this. It's called – where is it?
Last Stop Larimar.
Last Stop Larimar. So, yeah, Larimar is a place with very little population. And, yeah, this guy Paddy goes 12
missing. 12 residents.
And there's one pub in the town, and then the documentary interviews them as they kind of all accuse each other of having something to do with the disappearance, because his dog went missing with him too.
Yeah.
So him and his dog both go missing, and
he's got issues with his neighbour across the road.
He does. But then you find out as the interviews go on, a lot more people may have had issues with him as well. And then there's people who have issues with other people. And there's a lady in the film, and I can't remember her name, but she runs a pie shop.
Yeah.
A very popular one. And there was an accusation that she actually cut him up and put him into the pie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's lots of interesting elements. Still an unsolved crime to this day. I didn't know that Stan series was focused on that, so that's quite interesting. But, yeah, there's a lot of footage as well that they utilise in this three. It's a three-part series. It's really interesting.
I think it was on Netflix.
It is available to watch on streaming. I watched it not long ago and I can't remember what it was. But, yeah, lots of theories about what happened to him, who was involved. And it's quite a sad thing to watch, though, to see this town so just nothing there, and you know, the residents there are quite old, and
it's basically somewhere to stop on the way, and this lady who makes the pies, that's where everyone stops. And then he starts putting out signs that say these pies are, you know, you shouldn't eat here, you need to go to the pub or something. Like it's crazy neighbor stuff,
right?
But turned up to 11.
Called Last Stop Larimar, and it's quite a quirky, mysterious, offbeat type documentary. But I believe the producers behind it are the Duplass brothers.
Mark and the other dude.
And I did try and find – I wanted to read into why they were interested in producing it, but I never got around to doing that. So, yeah, Last Stop Larimar. But, yeah, I had no idea this new series.
It's not available on any streaming service in Australia currently.
Isn't it?
It's
so weird seeing it's about Australia.
Yeah, so I remember this series was covered on the podcast True Crime and Cocktails, and I could not find it to watch it. So I thought it had become available, but it looks like it is still not available. So I don't know how you watched it, sister.
I think it popped up briefly. I actually watched it when I was house sitting for you, not this time, but the time before. Yeah. So I must have watched it on whatever you had available. And then I think they potentially have just They may have pulled it for some unknown
legal reasons.
But, yeah, there's some interesting stuff. And then there's a gardener that does some maintenance stuff, and he's apparently involved in it. So, yeah, really fascinating stuff. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this new series if it's somewhat linked to that.
Yeah, at least if you've got Stan, you can watch Population 11. So that's pretty awesome. But we should probably go to another ad and then figure out what we're going to talk about next.
Investing for your future can be quite an adventure. For over 20 years, Perth-based investment specialist Sentinel Financial Group has been helping West Aussies grow their wealth and superannuation safely and securely with proven investment strategies and professional advice. Sentinel can help anyone from first time to experienced investors and are currently managing over $1.3 billion in client funds. Sentinel maintain a high level of client interaction at all times using the latest strategic investment technology, ensuring you the best experience possible. So contact a Sentinel investment professional today. Or for more information, please visit our website, sentinelgroup.com.au. Sentinel Financial Group, proud sponsor of Radio Fremantle.
Um, Actually, sorry, no, I'm just going to play the second ad now as well. I've got reasons. I'll explain off air.
Okay.
Thank you very much again to all of our sponsors. It's awesome to have you there keeping the lights on in the studio. We were just talking before about Netflix and streaming and stuff like that.
Streaming services, yes.
Are available. I'm like, you know, cancelling Netflix.
You're done.
I've watched everything.
Done. Everything.
I've watched everything on Netflix. And
Love is Blind?
No idea what it is. No. It's
then you haven't watched everything.
Well, I've watched everything I want to watch.
It is hard these days to, try.
It's expensive to have all of them.
Well, I was going to, can it last week, but because Cecilia was housing for us, I went, No, we'll keep it there.
Thanks, Lewis. Yeah, I appreciate that. We'll I didn't watch anything on it, though, but thank you.
You'll have to refund him what it cost for that week.
It was there if you need it. But, well, here's the thing, though. I was ready. I was going to push the big red button and go, da-dom. Come on, that deserves much more than that. but the...
Oh, I got it. It took me a second to get it. And then
other than the noise... Is a Netflix noise, but did you say da-dun?
Yeah. Push the big red button because it's like da-dun. That's the noise.
But then were you saying da-dun like you're done?
Well, no, that was just a coincidence. I was just making the Netflix noise as an indication that I was going to push the red button and
it was
turn
very
it
funny.
Off.
It's very funny.
I'm sorry we deconstructed your joke and made it less funny.
No. It's always funny when you have to explain a joke. I've often said this. When I was a comedian, I'd often just tell one joke and spend the next half an hour explaining what I meant. So, you know.
Sounds like fun.
Yes, this is why I'm not a comedian anymore. So I was ready. Like, I was like, Netflix, there's nothing on this. And then I was going to push a button on Friday, and then all of a sudden, Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman TV series.
Ah.
And I was like, well, I'm glad I didn't push the button a week earlier.
I'm going to watch this first.
So, yeah. So I watched the first, I think, can I watch the first episodes? I think it was Thursday or Friday. And then we went down south for the weekend, and in the room we had, there were two TVs. We only watched one of them. You know, that's the way we rock. Well, we could have
We
could have had them both on playing the same show, and one of us could watch it in the bedroom, one could watch it in the lounge room.
Or you could have had it in stereo, sat in the middle somehow.
And not seen either TV.
Yeah, okay, that wouldn't have worked.
No, it's a great idea. We'll workshop that one next time. But we went down there and we were watching The Gentleman, and that was really good. And then there is a new comedy special on Netflix as well, which is Hannah Gadsby's the MC, and it's all like gender fluid, transgender comedians. Because Netflix had a who's that comedian that everyone loves and I've never quite understood, Chappelle something or other.
Chappelle.
Not Chappelle Corby. No. That's a completely
literally
different
the only Chappelle I think of.
That's
Dave
the one.
Chappelle. Yeah,
that's the one. He doesn't keep his marijuana in a boogie board bag. So Dave Chappelle apparently
it's in a surfboard bag.
I thought it was a boogie board bag all this time.
No, it was a boogie board. No, it was Dave Chappelle keeps his in a surfboard bag. Yes, Chappelle Corby allegedly kept his in a
yes, please,
bag.
Guys, allegedly here.
Well, it's not really allegedly anymore. She went to jail for it, so she served her time. I think we can all agree that... Anyway.
I'm scared of her family, so...
allegedly. Yes, allegedly. It wasn't even a boogie board. There was no marijuana. What are you talking about? There's nothing. No. Allegedly.
It didn't happen, all right? It didn't happen.
She never went to jail. Anyway, what are we talking about?
Yeah, Dave Chappelle.
He did a special a while back and said some not nice things about transgender people. And so Netflix was kind of like, we better do something about this. And so that's how the whole Hannah Gadsby transgender comedy night came about. And it was very funny. It was very, very good. So we were watching Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman, which is there's a movie called The Gentleman as well, which is a similar kind of concept.
Is there violence?
Is it a
Guy Ritchie
continuation thing? Of characters in story, or is
no,
it quite different?
It's like it's all like so in The Gentleman. I'm just going to.
I have to admit, Netflix is quite good for its comedy specials.
It is. I find I have to keep it because I have a child and there's lots of stuff on it for
him. Quite diverse in its it has a lot of Netflix specials and yeah, from a lot of different comedians. I find that if I'm looking for comedy special to watch, I quite often watch them if I'm falling to sleep because you don't have to necessarily have your eyes open, but you can kind of listen and just
fall
laugh.
Asleep and laugh.
I find there's a good mix there that I don't find on any other streaming service.
It is a good variety.
So, if I got rid of Netflix, I would miss probably the stand-up specials and the comedy.
Yeah.
But, unless I can find something else that offers that.
Well, I did notice that the latest season of what's it called? Blown Away is on there. So when I get my Netflix back, I will be watching that.
When you're out of Netflix jail.
Yes. When I did fall asleep, Kat did start watching Blown Away.
Oh, there you go.
And
see?
I would occasionally arise and watch and go, why is she watching this?
It's cool.
No, it's got to be very hot, otherwise the glass doesn't melt. Okay, so the gentleman, an American expat, tries to sell off. This is the movie from 2019.
Right.
Also, Guy Ritchie directed it. An American expat tries to sell off his highly profitable marijuana empire in London, triggering plots, schemes, bribery and blackmail in an attempt to steal his domain out from under him. So that was the movie that was in 5 years ago.
One I still not have seen, but did do very well.
It's a very good film. It's got lots of famous people in there, like Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Colin Farrell, Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant's great in this. Oh, he's so good in this. Charlie Hunnam, Jeremy Strong. Yeah, so it's good. Check it out. I don't know where it's playing, but check it out. The TV show is when aristocratic Eddie inherits his family estate. So Eddie has got an older brother. And I don't know if you guys know how this thing works, generally speaking, but if you're a duke, then your older brother will become the next duke. And that's how this thing works. But Freddie's a hopeless case. He's the older brother. And so the father leaves the dukedom and the house and all the money to the younger brother, Eddie. And Eddie's like a guy who's got really, he's got it all going on.
He's Theo James.
Yeah, he's Theo James. That's right. He's a military guy. He's classy. He knows what everything's all about. And so he becomes the head of the household. He becomes a duke. But his brother kind of like ruins everything. But unbeknownst to everyone, everyone except for a few people, on this massive sprawling estate, they've got like a area where there's horses, stables, I believe they're called. There's a young lady there who is Susie Glass, played by Keio Sacadaro. And she is running a marijuana growing operation. And the former Duke was profiting to the sum of $5 million a year thanks to this operation. Mm-hmm. And so basically Eddie gets pulled into this underworld place of, crime and drugs and death and murder and all sorts of things. All sorts of things. It's really full on.
All sorts of things.
Vinnie Jones is in this, and it's so nice to see Vinnie Jones. Like, usually he's a thug and he's he's just a horrible person. You're very scared of him. But in this, he's this nice guy, and he's got this backstory so good. Michael Vu plays Jimmy, who's like the marijuana cultivator, who's just such a hippie and so into his weed. It's fantastic.
Is this the guy who's dressed up like a chicken?
No, the guy dressed up like a chicken, that's Daniel Ings, who plays Freddie Horniman.
I've seen him in stuff before, and I cannot remember where I've seen him before.
You'll see him and go, that guy, he's
been
in things.
Yeah. Sex Education, that's where I know him from.
Who else have we got in there? There's Giancarlo Esposito is in this as well, playing a bad guy. Who would have thought it? Oh, my God. Him playing a bad guy. Typecast, I think. Ray Winston
Yes.
Ray Winston's in this.
I mean, you know, some of the good old Guy Ritchie people need to be in it, obviously.
He plays Bobby Glass.
There's actually two really interesting films that are on Netflix that I want to watch before I even consider getting rid of it. Have you guys heard of this? There's one called Spaceman with Adam Sandler in it, Paul Dano, Carrie Mulligan, but it follows an astronaut sent on a mission to the edge of the solar system who encounters a creature that helps him put his earthly problems back together. But it is a drama by the looks of it, or sci-fi with Adam Sandler.
That sounds weird.
The thing is, though, if you watch the little snippet that Netflix gives you, it's very quite interesting. It drew me in, but I knew I wanted to watch it when I had some time to actually sit
concentrate
and engage with the film. And there's another film called what's it called? Oh, I just had it up right in front of me before. Oh, it's called Your Lucky Day, and it's I think it's Angus Cloud's last film before his death last year. And the premise to this film is there's a dispute over a winning lottery ticket, which turns into a deadly hostage situation, and the witnesses must decide how far they'll go and how much blood they are willing to spill for this ticket. So both those films look really interesting, but I didn't want to watch them after work because I have a bit of, film and book narcolepsy. So as soon as I try and watch something, I just fall asleep. So there are two films I want to watch when I've got some time. I know I'm not going to fall asleep before I get rid of Netflix.
But you should also watch The Gentleman as well.
And I'll watch that as well.
Because one of the things I loved about the first couple of episodes, Peter Serafinowicz. Are you aware of who Peter Serafinowicz is?
Yes. He wants you to close the door.
He wants you to close the door. Oh, in
Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, he is in that. He was also the Tick in the new Tick series. He was also, if you ever watched Black Books, he was the guy that did the weather forecast thing or the shipping forecast.
Right.
And Fran hated him, but got so turned on by his voice because he had this very deep and booming voice.
He's also briefly in Guardians of the Galaxy.
He is in Guardians of the Galaxy as well.
You cannot forget that face.
And he is also Darth Maul, or at least the voice of Darth Maul.
There you go. Did not know that.
There you go.
He is. He's the voice of Darth Maul in episode one. So in other versions of Darth Maul, it's been played by someone else.
That's a very long time ago.
It is a very long
time. He's been busy.
He has. But he's got a great voice normally.
Yes.
In The Gentleman, he plays a Liverpudlian. And it's even better when he's speaking with a Liverpoolian accent. So it's fantastic. But yeah, the Gentleman is on Netflix. I would I'd highly recommend checking it out.
There you go.
We have two films to talk about. Should we take a break before we do them, or try and wrap one up now?
No, let's quickly do the last ad, and then we'll come back and we'll get these films knocked on the head.
Excellent.
And we are back. We have got 15 minutes left of Unscript the Film Show for another Thursday night. And we've got a couple of films left to talk about.
We do. So the first one is a documentary. It came out this year and it's on Binge. It's called They Called Him Mostly Harmless. Now, as someone who's into true crime and all that sort of stuff, you do hear quite a lot about internet sleuths and the good and the bad of the internet sleuths. And this documentary sort of delves into that. It starts with the story of a hiker who's found dead in a tent with absolutely no ID on him. They run his fingerprints, they can't find him, and essentially they have to go to the public to try to get some help, essentially. And so there's a few different internet sleuths who put their hats on and just see what they can find. And there has been previous documentaries that look at, how internet sleuths can help these things. One of them was You Don't F With Cats, which was on Netflix. Now, you guys have not seen this because you're not really into true crime at all, but this was about how a whole bunch of internet sleuths assisted in the arrest of a killer from Canada. So I won't go into any details because it is quite horrific. But the way that they came together to get him was fantastic.
It's on Netflix, by the way.
It is. It is on Netflix. Don't F With Cats was a very, very big documentary. Lots of people in the true crime were watching it. But this one kind of looks at how internet sleuths can also do damage, and how they can get into these little groups, and then it starts to get political, and then the moderators are not happy with the admin, and the admin is not happy with somebody else made a comment on it, and they forget the reason they've started the group, which is to find this gentleman's identity. So there's a few interesting characters in there, because people who generally go into internet super sleuthing don't have a lot else going on in their life sometimes, so it does tend to bring out some quirky characters. I really enjoyed this documentary because I feel like it's something I've not seen before. Like, I've watched a lot of true crime and stuff like that, but this I felt like it was coming from a completely different angle that I wasn't used to. So, yeah, and it's interesting just finding out about how hikers, when they do the Appalachian Trail, which is where this guy started out, they have their real name and their trail name. So the reason he has why they say that they called him Mostly Harmless is because that's one of the trail names he went by, is Mostly Harmless. And then they go into how he came up with that name, and then he's got another trail name. And this is the problem, is they can't find out what his real name was because he went by this trail name the whole time. So that's a whole thing about hiking. I didn't realize there was this whole huge, you know, group of people who are into it and then have trail names.
That's bizarre. You think they'd use real names for purposes like this.
Well, when they stay at certain places along the track, they are supposed to sign in with their real name and then give their trail name as well. And a trail name is kind of something you get given along the way for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So to find that out, because I don't think we've got that huge culture here, but that is a big culture in America, and a lot of people go on that Appalachian Trail because they've hit some time in their life where they, you know, are looking to find themselves, mm-hmm. or, you know, you've just got people who are just hugely into hiking. So, yeah, that's on Binge. It's interesting.
Sounds interesting, yeah. Mm. Very, very interesting. Love Lies Bleeding. I did review this last week in prep for some advanced screenings, but it officially releases today at Select Cinemas. So it's directed and co-written by St. Maud filmmaker Rose Glass, and it's set in rural New Mexico in the late 80s. So everybody's kind of rocking the cool haircuts and things
the mullets,
like
the mullets. Perms.
You know Dave Franco's in this film. He's rocking a mullet. But you've got this loner, Lou, played by Kristen Stewart, and she works at this, you know, real dingy, kind of grimy gym. And then one day this, you know, girthy drifter, Jackie, played by Katie O'Brien, wanders into the gym. She's this, you know, young bodybuilder from Oklahoma, and she's training for this upcoming competition in Las Vegas. But this, you know, late night hookup between the two, you know, turns into this, you know, blossoming romance. But the romance is, you know, without its troubles. You've got Jackie, who then scores a job as a waitress at a local gun range owned by Lou's estranged crime lord father, played by Ed Harris, who has very little hair on the top. But then I don't know if you guys have seen him.
Way too much
hair. He looks very creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also seems to, you know, own and run half the town. You know, there's some real, you know, sketchy stuff going on. The gun range is clearly front for, you know, something, you know, corrupt going on. I won't give too much away, but certain events unwittingly entangle Lou and Jackie into, you know, Lou's criminal family, and they have to kind of, you know, outrun that and work together. But the film really blends, you know, this neo-noir type elements with body horror. You've got Jackie, who's going through this transformation as she prepares for this bodybuilding competition. It's kind of reminiscent of, you know, a Thelma and Louise type story, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's a little bit more gritty, and it's got those real neo-noir type. Yeah, it's really nice to watch. It's got a great, you know, soundtrack. You know, you've got you know, Kristen Stewart and, you know, O'Brien, Katie O'Brien have this, you know, wonderful chemistry on screen. So I really, really love this film. I gave it a 5. I already know it's going to be in my top 10. It's only March. But, yeah, fantastic film. So if you can get around to seeing it, please do, because it's, yeah, it's really good. Really good. I haven't seen a good film in a long time. Which is nice. So, you know how sometimes you go through a string of seeing great films and then you don't, and then I just haven't seen anything good for such a long time. So I was really surprised by this film. And, yeah, go see it. But I think I'll be surprised by some of the Oscar winners too, like Poor Things and Anatomy of a Fall, which I've got to get around to watching. So hopefully I can add some more into my top 10.
Poor Things is on Disney Plus.
It is.
Is it already on Disney Plus?
It is. Yeah. It's available.
Wow. Okay, I might have to watch that because I feel like it's a reimagining of Frankenstein.
Yes, I've heard that. Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
There's stuff I need to see as well. I'm gonna go and see Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire.
Yeah, that's next week.
Next week. So before that, I want to watch Ghostbusters Afterlife
have
again.
Have you not? Oh, I was
again.
I was gonna say what?
I'm pretty sure you were there when I saw the first time.
Yeah, I was there with you.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna
watch that, and then so that one Empire is next week is Frozen Empire. The following week after that is King Kong Godzilla and their Monster Empire or something like that. But it's another Empire movie, so it's good to see. There's lots of empires coming about.
So I would like to announce something really big while you know you're both here. We have introduced Bryce to the Back to the Future trilogy.
Woohoo!
And he loved every second of it.
Exciting.
And the bad bits just went over his head. So it's important. It's a milestone.
It is a milestone for particularly, it's yeah.
Like Chris's favourite series of all time. And I've been, you know, we started doing a puzzle, a Back to the Future puzzle, Chris and I. And so the question started getting asked, you know, oh, I should watch this. And then I don't know if you remember, but there's some pretty yucky scenes in the first one that, but, you know, being a seven-year-old, he didn't get what was going on.
So the making out with the mum, yeah, stuff.
Yeah, and the beef. He's being a really horrible human being bit. Yes, that bit. But, yep, thoroughly enjoyed it. The first one is his favourite, just so everybody knows.
Aww.
Yeah.
I really like, you know, there's two films, like, you could remake them and I'd be happy just cause to see more. And that one of them is Back to the Future. I'd love to see a new version of Back to the Future. And another is Gremlins. I'm just like, why have we not got another Gremlins yet?
Yeah. That one I could see remaking. Yeah. I would be devastated if Back to the Future was remade, if I'm honest. Bryce is like, oh, there should be a fourth one, and we had to explain the people are pretty old now.
Yeah, even though Doc actually looked really old during, actually quite young, and now he's really old. So,
yeah. And Chris had to explain that, oh, Michael J. Fox is a bit sick as well. I'm like, I wasn't going to tell him that. Don't break his heart by telling him that. So, yeah. Good stuff.
He's expanding his filmography knowledge there.
Training him well.
Good job.
So if you haven't seen it, Back to the Future, it's probably on your DVD shelf.
I'm definitely due a revisit. They're films I haven't seen for a long time. I've seen them countless times, just need to probably go back and watch
them. It is on a streaming system, but we watched our Blu-rays because started watching we watched the first one on Blu-ray and then we went to watch the second one on streaming. And you could tell the difference and we stopped it and watched the Blu-ray.
You totally can.
Like, yes, and I was literally saying, this is what Lewis is talking about. We need to keep media, like physical. You can tell the difference.
I mean, because you've got like pretty good, your internet connection's good. Like you get a lot of data per second.
Yeah.
Like you should be able to stream like
HD stuff. But it still feels like there's a lag or something.
It's still not as good as just putting a disc into a thing and the thing is there, you're there, you play it and you go, my God, this is so much better.
Yeah.
Like we noticed it with Harry Potter. It was just like, this is, I feel like, the writer is less transphobic when it's on Blu-ray. So, oh, dear.
Yeah, no. If you can't see it in cinemas, at least DVD Blu-ray is still good quality. Oh, yeah. But, definitely 100%. Big difference between,
100%.
Anyway, we have got to get out of here. Quizzy has got some crates. He looks like he's going to dig into them. I'm going to leave you with a song which has got a reason because Robert Downey Jr. won his first Oscar this week. So in honour of Robert Downey Jr., here is a bit of Akadaka, Back in Black.
Nice.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Gentlemen of Pop Culture.